Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, friends, and welcome to the first season and the first show of Amongst Friends, the new internet talk show about relationships. Amongst Friends is a show where friends simply get together and speak our minds on various issues concerning relationships. Hosting this evening, I am Patrice Reynolds. We also have Joe Snyder on the line. Joe, say hello to the people. Say hello to the people, Joe. Joe, you there? Deidre.
He's there.
Heather?
I'm here.
Say hello to the people, Heather.
Good evening, everybody.
I don't know what happened to Joe, but I guess he'll chime in as soon as we can hear his voice. Oh, okay. Joe, say hey to the people.
Hey, everybody.
And Deidre Robertson.
Hello, everyone.
And guess what? You're a part of the show as well. Call in on 760-683-2662. Again, that's 760-683-2662. On tonight's show, I want to ask a question. There's a priceless question everyone dating, looking for love and seeking to be married, must be able to answer this question, okay? Will the person you fall in love with lead you into a risky relationship or a miserable marriage? Okay, so as I throw that question out there, tonight's show is about I chose the wrong mate, now what? Mm. I chose the wrong mate, now what? And I guess when I say mate, so that we're all on the same page, your spouse, your husband, or the wife that you have chosen. The choice, discovering who you chose. Joe, what is the first step as far as discovering who you chose? What do you think how people should go about discovering who they chose?
Well, I think, Patrice, I think the very most important thing that we should look at is, one, you have to discover who you are first before you can choose anyone. And I think just in how we develop this whole thing called dating and relationships and moving in towards marriage, we forget the most important part, and that's understanding who we are. And that's why we end up most times choosing wrong, or we look for superficial reasons in the people that we select, and we, you know, end up disappointed in our choices because this person doesn't meet our standards or our expectations, when really we haven't even identified what our expectations or standards are. So I think, you know, the first step in choosing a mate so that you won't choose wrong is understanding yourself. Mm-hmm. That's what I think.
Hi, this is Deidre. I just wanted to say that you can't go in with this preconceived notion of how things are. Perfect example, in my first marriage, it was all about time. I had to be married at this age. I had to have my first kid at this age. I needed to be here in my career at this age. And because of that, I selected someone who ultimately, you know, our relationship ended in divorce. So, you know, in piggybacking off of what Joey said, is that you do have to know yourself and you have to know what's right for you rather than just trying to do a quick fix. I need to do this. I need to do that. I need to do this. You end up making mistakes.
That's a good point. That's a good point. Discovering who you chose. I honestly think that it's extremely important. I mean, to be already in the marriage, I think it's important to finally admit who they are. And after you've accepted who they really are, to just admit, you know, who you actually marry. And that, of course, is discovering who you chose and who that person is. I think that's the foundation of coming to the bottom line of, did I choose right? You know, I could have married somebody that was not equipped to deal with a person like me, you know, not that they weren't good enough, but that I just, you know, they're not capable of handling a person that is might be confrontational in a positive way. It might be a person that doesn't like to argue, you know, things like that. So I definitely agree that discovering who you chose is extremely important. Is PJ here?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay.
PJ.
Welcome, PJ. We have Paul Morgan on the line, better known as PJ. PJ, we were just talking about, I chose the wrong mate, now what? And the first point we were talking about was the choice and discovering who you chose. The first step to figuring out or finding out how you got to where you are, and we were just talking about how we needed to discover who we were. Joe was saying discover who we are before we can even choose anybody. What do you think about that?
I totally agree with Joe. I believe that if we're talking about marriage, I think marriage is between a man and a woman, and it's not between a boy and a girl. I think a lot of times in our society, we have boys and girls that get married, and then when they mature to adults, they find out that they are with the wrong person. I just have a personal policy for me. I decided to get married, and I got married late, but I got married late when I got married when I was tired of being single. And what I meant by that is everything that I wanted to do, you know, as a single man, and all of the sacrifices that I wanted to make as a single man, especially being a musician and an entrepreneur myself, I figured that I should make those decisions, you know, when I'm single. So if I'm going to do something and it's not going to make any money, then I'm the only person that's eating sardines for dinner and not me and my kids sitting in a room with the lights off. So I think that I lived my life singly, and I waited until I was mature enough to handle being married before I did it. I think sometimes people fall in love or lust and, you know, they get married, but they're not really mature. And then when they grow to the person they're going to be, they look beside them, and then the person next to them is wrong.
That's interesting. And coming off of that, why did you? What were the main reasons that you chose your wife? And right now, I mean, were you in a spiritual mind? I want you to honestly be real. You know, were you in the spirit mind when you decided, or was
it on
fleshly terms?
Well, for me, I had just come out of a long relationship where I would hurt very badly. So, you know, even before I dated my wife, I said, hey, I need some time to really, you know, get over, you know, this and be a whole person again, and then we can date. I think a lot of times people marry on their insecurities. So if you had a boyfriend that may have hit you, then the very next guy who's nice to you, you feel like, hey, this is my husband, but he might not be your husband. He might just be a guy that's nice to you. One of the things that I needed a woman that could love me if I didn't love her. And then I needed somebody who would love me for me and not for what I do and not for my potential, but just love the worst of me. And if I could find a woman that could love the worst of me, we could make it through anything.
Wow. How long did that take for her to see the worst of you?
It took about a year. You know, we went through some things while we were dating. And I think we saw the worst of each other. And we just made up our mind, okay, well, you know, if we can live through this as boyfriend and girlfriend, then there's nothing that we can't go through as husband and wife.
And Deidre has been married as well before. How did you choose your mate? Like, what was running through your head when you chose your husband?
To be perfectly honest with you, in choosing my husband, it was a lot of outside voices. It was, to be perfectly honest, it was when I, me and my husband were friends, and the initial conversation that we had was, look, dude, all we're going to do is going to be friends. That's it. We will never, ever, ever, ever be anything more than friends. And then I start having people talking, you know, in my ear, you know, about, oh, he's a good guy, and, you know, he goes to church, and he has a good job, and he's not disrespectful. But on the inside, I was like, I ain't really feeling him like that. He's good people, but I don't want it. But they was, you know, you're young, you need to hurry up and get married, have some kids. And all along, you know, I'm listening to them, and I'm listening to those desires that I have of wanting kids, wanting to be married, wanting to have all these things. My timetable started kicking up. It was loud, and I had other people talking, and, you know, it was just like, okay. And then next thing you know, I'll say in a matter of 2 months, I was married.
Wow.
5 years later, I was divorced.
That's interesting. And it's very scary that people on the outside could actually talk you into a lifelong decision. Not only that, but yourself, you know, letting yourself talk you into doing it when you know that something is missing or something is not right because it's not an instant yes, you know. I don't know. What you know, I have no idea how that would feel, but as far as other things in my life, people have talked me into doing that I did not want to do. So I could definitely relate to that on some level.
Well, I don't want to say that I was talked into marrying. I think it had more to do with my own clock, my own timeline of when I wanted to do things. You know what I'm saying? As a single woman, you know, if all your friends are married, or even if they're not married and they have kids and they're talking about going home and, you know, helping the kids with their homework or going home and watching movies with their spouse, and I'm going home to a cold bed or, you know, a couch where I'm watching TV by myself, you tend to start getting lonely and you start thinking, oh, my gosh, you know what I'm saying, maybe I should consider this. You know what I'm saying? Maybe, you know, maybe it shouldn't be about the physical or anything like that.
Wow.
Well, Deidre, what do you mean that it shouldn't be about the physical?
Well, what I'm saying is, you know, my dude, he needs to be about 6'4", look like The Rock, you know what I'm saying? And my ex-husband didn't look like that. And so it wasn't about the physical. You know, he was just a good dude.
And so do you think, Deidre, that you should, you shouldn't choose people based on physical attractiveness?
No, I'm not saying they shouldn't base it off of that. I mean, the physical helps. You know, because if he's looking all good and, you know, I mean, for some guys, if the woman's butt is big, you know what I'm saying, you know.
Hallelujah.
That may help you get over a fight. You know
what
I'm saying?
Let me ask you this. Deidre, would you say that I don't agree that anyone talked you into making that kind of a decision, but I definitely feel like the voice of others can influence the choices that we make, especially when you put it in the context of you already desiring to be in the position of relationship, marriage, kids, and you have yourself on a timetable. My question is, do you believe that you could have worked through that relationship and remained married, though?
With the proper counseling, I believe so. And I'll say this because there were times when there's been times I've thought, you know, hindsight is 20/20, you know, what could I have done differently? You know, was it really about us not being compatible or whatever? And it really had to do with some of the counseling that I received while I was going through my divorce. And it was just like, you know what? I'm tired of listening to people. Listening to people kind of got me into this marriage. So I'm done. I need out. I don't want to hear anybody. And I'm talking not just friends. I'm talking about even going to the church and getting counsel from the church. We even had premarital counseling, and my pastor at the time, his concern was that we hurry up and get married so that we could stop shacking. Instead of saying, no, I don't think you should get married. Y'all are not compatible.
Mm.
It was, I just need you to go ahead and make this right because you are church secretary, so your life needs to look right on the outside.
Yeah, unfortunately, we do go through some of that stuff with, you know, the older church minds, that getting married is the best thing to do when you're one shacking, when you're, you know, sexually active or your sexual energy is really high and you keep getting pregnant. I've seen it over and over again.
Priest, if I can ask, just going back to the, you know, we were talking about discovering who you choose, you know, it's like what is that moment, you know how they talk about the moment of clarity, like what is that moment for people married or unmarried, like what is that moment where you just feel like, dang, I think I chose wrong, this person isn't for me. You know, and here you are, you're at the point where you are in love, maybe you're living together, maybe you are married, or maybe you feel like you've given everything to this person. Like, what for you guys, Heather, PJ, Deidre, Treese, like, what does that look like for you, or how did you feel when you felt like, man, I've discovered who I've chosen, and this don't seem right? Like, what was that moment for you, or have you guys ever had that moment?
Well, I've never been married. Go ahead, Heather.
Well, no, honestly, not just within marriage, but I think in any relationship, I think when you come to the moment that you're speaking of,
mm-hmm.
I think that's the point where you accept that it's not going to work. I think you've already had that moment of where you knew it was, you know, where you had the aha of this isn't right, this isn't going to work. I think when you get to the place where you are, once you accept it and begin to determine what you're going to do about it, I think a lot of relationships that we're in, there are so many things that are before us before we get to the relationship that are clear indications that this is not the best decision. This is not a right choice, but we still move into it anyway. And so my concern is that once we're in it, what do we do about it to make it work? And, you know, do we need to make boyfriend-girlfriend relationships work, or do we need to focus on just making marriages work?
Mm.
And so I think that's the dialogue that people need to have with themselves. Some of the reading I was doing was, you know, a lot of this has to do with how we are raised, how we're conditioned, what our experiences are, what our parental relationships were like as a child growing up. How did we view relationships, and what were indicators for us as of positive relationships and negative relationships? Because as a child, you're pretty much a recorder. You don't really decipher truth and fiction and right and wrong.
Right.
You just take it all in, and you don't really have a filter to deal with what you're seeing or what you're hearing. So as adults, we shape kids and they become older and then they develop opinions, they develop belief systems, they develop standards and mindsets. And so how does that affect how we deal with one another in relationships?
Again, I've not been married, but I will say that I can imagine with the information that I have now, the knowledge and the revelation that I have regarding the subject and observing a lot of marriages and asking a lot of questions, if I were literally in a marriage and what it took as far as getting clarity on, oh, my God, what have I done, it would definitely have to be me finding out that he doesn't know his position in the marriage as a man. That's number one. Everybody has to know their position. They have to know what they are supposed to do. They have to know what who is supposed to lead what. I think that would be number one. Of course, I would definitely handle that before the marriage took place, but I'm imagining myself already in it. So that would be number one. He does not know his position, so therefore he doesn't know that he is supposed to mold me as a wife, and he is supposed to take a bullet for me. He's supposed to cover me, those kind of things. He's supposed to, kidnap me from the world every now and then so that I could recharge. Just the co-covering thing. That would be, my number one clarity that, okay, I don't even know. And even if, we did go to premarital counseling after that, well, not premarital, but marital counseling, and he now knew the truth, he would have to accept it, and he would have to believe it. And if he did not do those things, I would really be like, oh, my God, what have I done? Because that means he's saying that he's not going to grow to that. He's not going to grow to know his position or anything like that. So for me, the clarity of choosing the wrong mate would be that he not know his position, in the marriage. And that's just one thing.
Well, okay, so you're in the relationship and somebody changes or you perceive them to have changed, and it goes from them being this wonderful person to a not-so-perfect person. What are the steps that you're going to take in that?
I definitely would have to get a third party because, I could talk to my husband all day about what the truth is as far as what we all should be doing in the house. But if he is not willing to accept that from me, because I'm his wife and he knows me, then I would have to bring a third person in that he trusts and that he, has great respect for, that he would possibly listen to, I would do that. I would definitely do that. I would not just walk out of the marriage, but I would definitely prepare for that if it had to happen. I look at it like this, somebody said that one of the listeners said something about ride it out or something and see what happens. I just don't agree with that. I don't. We get one life, and if we do it right the first time, if we choose right, and we'll get to that later on, the things that we think you should be thinking about when you choose, if we do it right in the beginning and do all that we have, it's still not guaranteed to be a great marriage, but it is guaranteed that if you use the skill and your knowledge to choose, that you have a huge head start. You really do have a huge head start. You're on the same page with him. So, therefore, there's a good chance to fix everything else. But if the foundation is just cracked up already, I don't think there's a lot of saving there if everybody is not mutual with getting better. I just don't.
I mean, for me, this.
Repeat that, Joe.
I'm sorry.
Oh, I was saying, for me, though, like you said, I've never been married. But, Treece, man, I've been in relationships, and I've gotten that moment where, like, damn, I chose wrong. I think I've chosen wrong. And all this time has been wasted. I put all this energy in it. My heart is in there, and I'm like, and my biggest fear when I feel like I've chosen wrong is like, man, I got to be vulnerable all over again. And for me, as me being the man that I am, I don't want to be vulnerable. But I know that being vulnerable will allow the woman to really get to see who you are. And so I'm like, I don't want to have to start all over again. But, man, I think I've chosen wrong. You know, I think I might have chosen with my mind, or maybe I just chose with my eyes and or my lust or, you know, my libido, whatever is, you know, is going on. I'm just like, man, I've messed up. I've chosen wrong, and I have to start this process all over again. And so whether you've been, you know, we look at it from a marriage point of view, and it's like, okay, you think of it, yeah, they stuck. They kind of like, when you get to that point and you discovered, hey, you chose wrong, it's like, okay, what do I do? Because divorce might not be an option for you or whatever. But when you in like a dating relationship or, you know, the new pattern in relationships, that people don't go towards marriage. You know, people are doing cohabitation. People are doing lifelong partnerships and, you know, all this, you know, just commitment promises and things like that instead of marriage. And here again, they get to this point where I guess we get comfortable or they get comfortable, and then you discover, man, this not for me, but I have invested so much. What do I do? And when you discover it, I know for me, when I discover it or when they discover that I'm not the right one or whatever, what have you, you I get big, and I'm like, man, I have to do this over again, and I don't think I have the energy to do it. And I want to be married, and I want to, you know, have all the guilt-free sex in the world. That's like an ultimate dream for me. But here again, I have to start this process over again, and I have to reveal myself to, you know, go through the steps, the romance, everything, the dating, the friendship, the next level all over again. And I'm like, I don't think I want to do it. So I definitely agree when you say, Treece, that you should choose right the first time, but a lot of times it's just sometimes we just find ourselves choosing wrong 10, 20 times before we even get to the right one.
And I'm glad you said that, and this is for you and PJ. When men choose, because we choose differently, women choose for a certain reason, and then men choose for another reason as well. We know that men, you know, are stimulated with their eyes a lot of the times. You know, the things that they are attracted to, you know, is a lot of times the visual, you know, and of course you have your mature guy that can look past what they see with their eyes and see the potential of a great marriage, a great team, a great, you know, she can help me get to my destiny. You know, she complements my life and my purpose on earth. You know, you really don't run into a lot of guys that will you know, think or say that, you know. So as a guy, how honestly, when you guys choose a wife, you know, you see, you know, her body parts. I had my uncle tell me one time, when men look at women, they see body parts, you know. And you guys have your favorite body part. Is it extremely important that you marry a woman with your favorite body part? Is that one of the things that you guys really, where is that on a list of 1 to 10 when you're choosing your wife?
For me, it's like an appetizer. It's a first course. It's the first thing that you notice. I think beauty is one of the first things that you notice about a person. But
amen.
I think in a marriage, you have to get past beauty, and really get what it is that you need and what you want for marriage. And for me, I was looking for a life partner. So I was looking for someone who could help me with life, because to be honest, the physicality of a marriage, especially if you have goals and you have things to do, it's not that big in a percentile of the relationship. I mean, my wife is an author. I'm a musician and a producer, so I'm going to be gone for the next 2 weeks. So we're still in our marriage and we're still working, but the physical part of it is not really, you know, for the next 2 weeks, not that important. You really want somebody that's going to help you with life. Mm-hmm. You really want somebody.
Yeah, but PJ, when did you discover that? After you were married or before you asked her?
I discovered that way before I asked her. I mean, when we started dating, I always knew that I wanted somebody beautiful. I've always known that. Or at least beautiful to my eyes. But the reality is that I'm a traveling musician, and I need somebody to help me with life. I needed somebody who was strong. I needed somebody who would, you know, hold everything down while I'm gone, and who wouldn't blame me for, you know, for living the life that I live. Sometimes you marry people and they believe that they know what they're getting into, and you say, hey, I'll use me for example, I'm a musician. I do this, I do that. And, you know, people say, okay, but when they actually see you do it, or they actually have to make the sacrifice for what you do, then a lot of times they don't want to make that. And if I can make a point real quick, there were times, just going back to what you said, Patrice, there were times in the marriage where I felt like I chose wrong because of my strenuous schedule. And there were times when my wife just said, hey, this is too much. And I'm like, wait a minute, you committed to this.
Wow.
And I felt that I chose wrong because I felt like I was being punished for being who I was. But let me say this, everybody grows at a different rate. And I think sometimes, and not that you have to ride it out in a relationship, but sometimes you have to allow people to grow to a certain point. Because my wife, before she wrote a book and started doing plays and was busy 20 hours a day, she was actually angry at, you know, some of the decisions I made or some of the things that I did. Like there were sometimes I would go out where I would say, hey, I need to go here. It's out of town. How much is it going to cost to go? It's going to cost $500. Are you making any money? No, but it's going to connect me with the right people. It's going to help me do this. It's going to help me do that. And she's saying, well, you're spending $500 that could be going to the house, and we may be late on these bills. And I say, hey, I understand this, but this is an investment. So during that time, I felt like I chose wrong because I was being punished for, you know, doing what I do. But luckily, in the marriage, once, you know, her destiny started coming forward, she started doing the same thing and started understanding why it takes what it takes. So had I said I chose wrong before she grew to the point where she is now, and I would have divorced, it would have been wrong. Now my wife totally understands what I do because she's doing her thing. You know, she has a play coming up, and she has auditions, she has advertisement, she has marketing, she has all of that stuff, and it takes up her whole day. So there were days when she would say, well, I haven't seen you all day, and you've been working, you've been in the house, you've been downstairs all day, and then you could just come upstairs and go to bed and not even talk to me or not even hug me or anything like that. And by the time she finished fussing, I would sleep.
Wow.
But now that she has her own thing that she's doing, you know, now the inverse happens. So she'll come upstairs, and I'll say, hey, babe, let's talk. I want to tell you what I did today. And then I'll say, yeah, this morning, and she's gone.
Wow.
Sleep.
I'm going to tell you why that's so amazing, because it proves the point, or actually you just described the point, that if they are not willing to grow, you know, in that way, like what if she didn't want to do that? She just happened to be a woman that would, you know, would attain to the wanting to do it. And had she not done that, that would have declared it as, oh, my gosh, I think I chose wrong. Or she's not trying to merge into this marriage. It's not growing to the point to where she is understanding my life. Not that it's all about you, but honest and truthfully, you are the man. And if a woman agrees to marry you, she also agrees to surround herself with your life. And that's I'm not that she won't have a life, but it's an agreement of I will support your life and I will push your life and I will be more than anybody else your main support. So therefore, I have to go along with what the vision is that you have, and we have to pick the course that you choose. People, men especially, please call in 760-683-2662. We're talking about, I chose the wrong mate, now what? I need the men to chime in. Joe, what did you have to say about that?
I definitely am on the side of, yes, it is very important to make sure you choose wisely and not just for the physical. But for me, I definitely, it's two things that I got to have, or at least one of those things I got to have. And one is I got to have a beautiful smile. That's the thing that I want to wake up to somebody smiling. I want to see them smiling after a wonderful lovemaking session. I want to see you smile. And so a smile is something that definitely is important to me. And then I like breath.
Hey, are
too,
you putting
so.
A smile on her face, Jeff?
Yeah. That's why I'm trying to hear a smile.
If that bill ain't paid, I'm not smiling when I roll over.
Oh, God. What if she's not a morning person, Joe? What the heck?
I mean, if she's not a morning person, but what I'm saying is I do get you need to find somebody that will grow with you, somebody that understands you, especially if you're in the position like TJ's saying, he's serious about his gift, he's serious about his music, and he has to have somebody, you know, that can understand that. But at the same time, you know, I'm with that, I'm for that, but I definitely need somebody that has a beautiful smile. And I like breasts. I'll compromise on the breasts, you know, but I do like breasts, so I want somebody that has some nice ones or close to nice ones.
Mm-hmm. So mainly when guys choose, they do have to have something that they are visually looking at that they like to look at. That's definitely important. Is that, can we honestly say that across the board?
I won't say across the board.
I would take it a step further. Excuse me for interrupting, Joe. I would take it a step
further.
I think most women should know, and I won't generalize, I think most women should know that most men like to be stimulated, not just with their eyes. They like their mind stimulated.
Yes, Lord, you better say it.
So what happens is, and I don't want to get too far off, eye stimulation is good, but a man has to look further than that. A man has to be stimulated by his eyes, and he also has to be he has to have his intelligence and stimulated. He also has to be spiritually stimulated.
Does he really have to have his intelligence stimulated? Really? If she has a big enough butt and a pretty enough smile, is her intelligence that important?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is very important, because what you have to realize is that most of your life is not physical, especially somebody who's goal-oriented, somebody who's trying to make a mark on the world, somebody who's trying to make history. It's not all about what you look like. You know, I need the look after I've done a hard day. I need my wife to look beautiful when I get back home, close to on the 13th or the 14th. But while we're doing what we're doing, like we're getting ready for her play, so we're auditioning people, we're doing things like that. I have no need for her beauty then, because we're working. We have a goal. But after the goal is done, I want to enjoy her beauty. And I want to know that I have somebody next to me who is intelligent, who can actually help me positively and not just be an arm piece. A lot of times men don't marry arm pieces. They marry partners.
Wow. Very interesting. Because I know a whole bunch of dudes that marry some arm pieces.
Right. And most of those marriages don't last.
Now, that is true.
Because beauty cannot sustain a marriage.
Interesting. How about this? What is everybody's formula? If you had to give a formula on what it takes for a successful marriage, now, right now, y'all speaking to the people that's about to get married, the single people that are desiring to be married, what is it that you would tell them if they're looking you in the eye and looking for answers from you? What is your formula? What is the Joe formula? What is the PJ, what is the Deidre and Heather formula that you would give them for a successful marriage? To start from the very beginning.
I would say, you know, for me, what I would really say, Patrice, is that before you even get there, one of the things that a lot of us really have to do, that I've had to do within my own life, is you have to step back from relationships and deal with yourself. Because a lot of times when you, and I'm not talking about to the person who's gotten beat in a relationship or this or that happened or he cheated but I didn't cheat. But there are characteristics about what you want, but you're getting what you are. You're not getting what you want, but you're getting what you are. And you're mirroring some kind of behavior. You're teaching people how to treat you. You're coming down to another level that's not you if you're getting something that you don't want, but you want more. How do you get that more? And so the first thing I would say to people is step back and deal with yourself. Be who you are, but you have to know who you are. Everybody, you know, walks around saying, I'm real. I like to keep it real. Everybody wants to lie. But in retrospect, if you look at your life, there's a lot of lies that we tell that we don't have to say with our mouth. It's a lot of things that we do that are a lie. They're not authentic to who we are. It's not, you know, authentic to what we really desire. So once you know the person that you are, you know what you can take, what you can deal with, what you're looking for, and then when you lay all of that out, you have to measure up to that. You have to be able to contribute at that level.
Mm.
You know, if you want more, you're going to have to give more. You don't just get more because you want it.
In order to know what best matches you, you have to know yourself.
Exactly. And I think that's, you know, part of the problem. You know, I can say for me, I can't speak for anybody else, but any relationship that I've been in that has not been a good relationship or was tumultuous or dangerous or harmful to me, there were absolutely opportunities that or that I could have taken to not be in that place or could have avoided it. And now I know where I decided to ignore it and not say no to those things that were harmful to me. So in some part, we choose that negativity. Although we say we don't want it, we still choose it.
What is the Joe formula? I want to hear what the Joe formula is.
Well, I guess, here again, one thing is I'm still trying to figure out a formula myself. But I think the most important piece to it is, one, if you're on the verge of getting married, the most important thing that I have found is that you have to make sure that both parties want the same thing. If you are not clear, if your expectations, if your standards, if your goals, if your dreams, your wishes for your relationship with this other person, they do not line up, you need to go ahead and cut that thing short. Because if you enter into a marriage, and I'm not talking about marriage of convenience or marriage just to be, say you're married, but a true, authentic man and woman, I love you, and I want to commit to you marriage, then you have to be on the same page. And so if that first and foremost step, besides, because everything else you need to discover in your singleness. So so if you discovering you, if you're single and you're whole and you have no need to be married, it is simply a desire. You don't have a need, but it's a desire to commit to this person. Then you move on to that step as baby, honey, sugar doll, whatever you call each other, is this what you want? Can you marry me? I want to marry you. That's the first thing that has to be clear. And the second thing is that you have to know that, you know, we're going to be able to commit to our vows. And if you and actually talking about those vows, what is thick and thin for you? What is for death do us part for you? What is through sickness and in health? Like really breaking down those things and opening up the lines of communication. And if you don't have that conversation, if you don't really understand what those vows, and then developing your own vows together, then you know you're not ready for this thing. And honestly, if you just basing your future relationship with your future husband or your future wife or the possibility of it, and if you're just basing it on romantic feelings, then you're setting yourself up for failure, because romantic feelings, just like being in love, are things that die and have to be relit, rekindled. And so if you're not able to handle that mentally, if you're not able to handle that emotionally, that, hey, we're going to be committed to each other, but we have to understand that romantic feelings are going to die and we'll have to relight them or rekindle them, and you're not able to do that work, then marriage might not be for you, or this might not be the person that you should choose to marry if you can't have those things.
Interesting.
So I just said a whole mouthful. But in summary, is really, if you can't communicate with one another back and forth, your standards, your expectations, and your ultimate desires, and doing the work, you might not want to choose this person.
Deidre, you want to chime in on that? I guess not. While she's getting warmed up, I do want to say that, you know, having the formula of a good choice of marriage, that's extremely it's to person to person. It's depending on who you are. It, of course, it's different for everybody, but I will say that the foundation has to be there, you know, the belief system. The belief system, and honestly, just to come to a more natural conversation, I do have to say that honestly, you know, the preference of or the level or of how they feel about a whole bunch of different things like sex, money, and whose strengths, where are your strengths and where are your weaknesses. I think that it's extremely important that we know that as well. If again, I think we talked before, if he's passive in the bedroom and you are not, later on it could become an issue if he turns out to not be as, you know, physical as you. You know, he might not feel comfortable with the things that you want him to do in the bedroom. And a lot of times people want to say that that's not a big deal and that can be worked out. But I honestly can say that I can't see where that is doable. I honestly see a marriage where you're sleeping in two separate bedrooms later on, because sex is it's a major part, you know, because it has a lot to do with bonding.
I want to go ahead and, since we're not getting the people to call in, y'all call in 760-683-2662. But one of the comments from our listeners is they said that they think that a person can lead you there, but you don't have to follow. Just because you're married, two people joined as one, blah, 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 doesn't mean that you don't look out for yourself. They said that they always use the example of flying in an airplane. When the flight attendant gives you the disaster instructions, if you're traveling with a child, they always say put your mask on first, then put your child's mask on. The same principle applies here. Even though they're your spouse, you still need to look out for priority number one if there's a hint of things going south.
Well,
you can't be self-serving. Part of love and relationship is that if we are two and joined together as one, I am tending to your needs and you're tending to mine. And I think that, you know, that's one of the issues in relationships, is that we become selfish and we become entitled to, I got to care for me, I have to do for me. And that's why we're so afraid of, you know, I've never, you know, growing up in a household, I don't really know. I can't tell you what the bank account situation was, but it wasn't no mine and yours. I never had that feeling that my parents dealt with each other like that, that this is mine and this is yours. And I think when we begin to say, you have to look out for yourself and you can't let them lead, somebody has to surrender here. I mean, it's in any situation, somebody has to surrender, and there's no mother who naturally would secure their mass first and not secure their child's.
That's
it does
so
not
crazy
happen.
That we
as much as they repeat it. But the mentality behind that is a corporate mindset that says any person who can't care for themselves, they then become a casualty. Yeah. Also, you're going to breathe so that you can help somebody else to breathe, but you want to make sure you're stabilizing your own breathing. And
well,
naturally,
that
does not work.
I think that should have took place before you got married. I think we should give ourselves permission to be a little selfish before we choose to marry them because, yeah, you do got to look out for, am I going to be happy later on down the road? Do you like this? Well, I don't like that. That's not going to mesh well with me. You have to honestly think about yourself and, you know, if you have a child, you honestly have to think about that. But once you are married, there is no me first and then you. It doesn't exist and it will not work.
It won't because I'm thinking, honestly, I'm not married, but when I get married, I feel like my husband is going to care for that. Like, I don't have to think about down the road what's going to happen. I mean, this isn't, we're not sitting up here talking about, you know, let's be logical. Yeah, you need to pay attention to your retirement and your 401k, but I'm not going to be concerning myself with the what ifs, and I got to look out for me, and so I'm going to be putting me a little bit of pennies to the side. That's like craziness. Like, we have a family plan for saving. And if something should happen, this is how we're going to deal with this. But if we always are find ourselves preparing for the breakup and preparing for this person to go astray, we limit the chances of a reconciliation. We limit our opportunity to forgive one another.
Yeah.
We limit the opportunity for change.
There's no guarantee that your marriage is going to work, but you cannot go into it with that. You can't go into it like this might end, so let me...
No, there is a guarantee that your marriage is going to work, Patrice.
Please, keep talking.
I just believe that, and I'm not living in no fantasy world. I'm telling you that marriage works when two people work.
Right.
Marriage works. I'm talking about adultery, physical abuse, drugs. I'm telling you, if two people work, that marriage can work. If you have two beings 100% committed, like, it baffles me how we in our, you know, American society or our culture, you know, we just get married, get divorced, oh, we just so in love, and then the next minute we can't stand each other, and you take two people from an Indian culture who don't even know each other, ain't never met each other, show up, get married, have kids, and live for 40 years together. Do it. Because they work, because they know the commitment that they've made, and they're loyal to that. They keep their word.
Mm-hmm.
But we can't do that.
We can't figure out how to do that.
Well, I think our society, socially, we have too many issues of entitlement.
Yeah.
When it comes to marriage. I had the guy that counseled me on marriage, he made me answer 5 questions. He said, what do you do, how do you respond when your needs are not met? That was the first question. Second question is, how do you deal with failure on the other person? The third question was, how do you deal with forgiveness? And those were the major 3 questions that that I had to answer before, you know, he would even decide to counsel me and my wife, because we always look on the positive side. But the reality is, what do you do? Can you function when your needs are not being met?
Come on now.
Can you function when you're not having your way? And I think that American society, we have entitlement. We have this thing that says, well, if I do this, then you should do that. And if you don't do that, then I don't do this, and that doesn't work. Me and my wife, we have this, you know, we play this little game. My wife said, and my, you know, we don't withhold from each other. So my wife says, well, you know, you didn't treat me right, so what if I withhold sex? And I say, you can't do that, because I can't say, I don't have the right to say, well, you know, you didn't give me enough sex this month, so I'm going to withhold on the mortgage.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Jesus.
She said, if you withhold, it's going to destroy the relationship. And I said, no. If you withhold, it's going to destroy the relationship, even if I do what I'm supposed to do, because my needs for what sustained me are just as important for what your needs are to sustain you. So I have to learn how to function whether my needs are being met or not. Mm-hmm. And that's a whole nother conversation.
How long before that becomes undoable? You know, how long should you hold out if your needs are not being met?
I don't know. It depends on the person. It depends on why the needs are not being met. But I can't, if my wife is depressed and, you know, every time we get physical, she cries, I can't say, well, I'm not going to pay the mortgage or any bills until you come through. Because the reality is that we're both supposed to provide an environment and meet the other person's needs so that the other person can grow. Because my wife doesn't have to worry about it. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I definitely agree with that, honestly, because if you and your wife were to sit down right now and write a list of what each other does, I'm pretty sure her list is much longer, you know, because of the things that she may do around the house versus, you know, I'm talking about every single thing.
Down to going
to the cleaners to pick up. I'm sorry.
No
what
way.
Did you say?
I go to the cleaners. I cook. I do grocery shopping. Nope.
Okay, so you manage the home.
Yes.
Okay, you manage the home. Okay. Well, everybody's situation is different, but mostly across the board, women do manage the home while the husband is out in the field. You know, let's say that's a majority situation. And if her list is longer or not, it shouldn't be looked at as my list is longer than you and I'm doing more. It should be this is my position and this is what I do to, you know, my addition to the marriage. And, you know, his list, of course, should be more in a planning mode, more, you know, this is the vision, this is where we're going, you know, 5 years out. So his list may be smaller, but it shouldn't be looked at as I'm doing more than you.
No, it should never be looked at as more or less, because I think everybody has to do what they can do. And the reason I do so much is because my wife is a single parent when I leave. So because she's a single parent when I leave, while I'm home, I try my hardest to do everything I can. And that's just my special particular situation. I think a marriage is only between two people. And two people have to do what works for them. And I think when two people bring other people into the marriage, it messes it up.
Oh, yeah.
I have to say just two things. One, just on the whole needs piece, and this is Joe, just on the whole needs piece, we have to marry, dating, cohabitating, whatever, whatever relationship you're in, you have to start communicating. If you do not communicate your needs, then they won't get met. You have to communicate your needs, and you have to be able to say, I'm at a point that I'm not able to meet that need. Can we compromise?
Wow.
Can we negotiate? Can we work through this, you know, until I'm at a point where I can meet your needs? And see, that's the issue. We don't communicate what our needs are. We don't communicate how we want them met. And instead, we get angry or we get frustrated because unmet needs equals frustration. And so,
what if what you need from me, I finally have to admit that I don't want to do? And the only reason why I appeared that I would do it was to get you to be my husband. So now that you are my husband, now I feel comfortable enough to say, hey, dude, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. Yeah, I know I said that, but it's not going down. Where is that going to leave you mentally in this marriage?
Well, here again,
so what you're saying, Patrice, is if you were given oral sex before the marriage, and now that we married, you don't want to do that no more because you were really just doing that to get him. But he's saying that's
a
need. Where are we going with this?
That's a good example.
Is that what we're getting at here?
What's that?
I mean, that's not what I meant, but that's a good example. In other words, mates that are not going to come to a mutual standpoint with you about what's going on, you know?
Well, then, well, that's
sex
where...
is at the top of the list. Go ahead.
No, but I was going to say, and that's where my second thing I wanted to say come in, because when PJ said that marriage is just between two people, yes, the initial foundation of the marriage is between two people, but I truly believe the same way that it takes a village to raise a child, it takes positive people in your life speaking into, not, I don't want to say speaking into your marriage, but pouring into your marriage and helping. Sometimes you need that. You definitely can't have more than two people in a marriage, but you do need someone that can mentor, that can nurture, that can cultivate, and that can help you when you reach points where you're both saying, I don't want to meet this need, or I don't want to negotiate, I don't want to communicate. You need to be around other positive married couples. Go to seminars. Go to counseling. You can't do this you shouldn't do it by yourself. Especially when you get to a point where you don't know how to communicate. We are social creatures. We learn by modeling behavior. We just think that social learning and modeling behavior stops at childhood, but it continues on and on as we become adults. And I think one of the things that's very important is if you and your wife or you and your husband are at a standstill with communicating or with understanding one another's needs, maybe you have to learn, or maybe you have to get an idea or a thought on how to do that from another couple who has successfully crossed that milestone or crossed that bridge. And so
after we have found that couple and we've sat down and talked to them, Joe, I don't want to meet you on that need. That need, which is number three on your list in order to live a great life with a great marriage, Joe, I am saying to you that I am not going to meet you at that need. So you can go fish, brother, because that is what it's going to be. Where are you standing now?
For me, if I am met with that kind of opposition, then for me, I'm definitely going to, you know, go into some serious, I'm going to flip out. There's no better way to say it. I'm going to flip out, and I don't handle conflict well, especially where I'm expressing that this is a need, and you're like, I'm totally against what you're saying, or that's not what I'm going to do, then that is going to create a bigger conflict. And if getting help, if getting counseling, if doing all of those things do not help, then I'm going to call a priest and get an exorcist or something, because there's a demon in there somewhere.
Well, no, here's my question, though. When in relationship, when you have a need, and the other person is saying, I cannot, I will not, I'm not going to meet that need, that particular need, do you begin to look at ways to eliminate that from being a need for you? Or do you begin to work with them to meet your need?
Heather, this is also a need that you knew that he wanted before you married him. This is what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about blindsiding, because I think a woman has every right to say, well, honey, you know, I didn't know that you liked that, and I don't feel comfortable once they are in the marriage. But if I know that you like watching me walk around the house with absolutely nothing on for at least 3 hours a day, and then when we get into the marriage, I'm like, no, I ain't doing that. You know, I only did that, you know. Okay, good point, Joe.
When it comes down to sexual activity, we do. Let's go.
That's what Deidre said.
Deidre, where's the caller?
I'm sorry, we had a caller and then they hung up. I'm sorry.
Oh,
okay.
Go ahead, Heather.
But no. I was just going to say that when you get to that kind of a situation, there must be some kind of compromise. And I believe that when two people are the right people who are working on that relationship and who truly love one another, I'm going to be so willing to step outside of me and what I want that I'm going to meet his need, or he's going to be so willing to step out of himself and what he wants that it's not going to be a need for him. Like,
wow.
That's going to resolve itself.
I'd like to know what you would say if it was a need that you definitely had to have and he decided to no longer do it again. And how
okay,
hard it would be.
Can we hold
okay.
on questions just a second? And caller with the 202 area code, you are now
yes,
on.
Yes, ma'am. Okay, I want to just kind of touch on that whole when you're married and you have a spouse that may not want to do something that you want. Now, it's almost like marriage is a tag team. If one person is in the ring fighting and the other person outside of the ring, and he tags them, the other person outside of the ring says, you know what, I can't fight this match. Is the person going to say, you know what, I don't want you to be my partner no more? No. He's going to say, you know what, well, I got to stick it out in this ring and continue fighting until the match is over. Then after the match is over, he says, okay, we need to sit down and talk and say, how come you couldn't pull that weight? Well, this is why I couldn't pull that weight. So, therefore, in a marriage, it's the same way. Now, you're married 50 years. There's going to be some stuff that you did in the beginning of that marriage that you cannot, that you may not be able to do or you just don't want to do 5 years, 10 years into the marriage. Should I still expect you to do that? Of course I do, as a man, I'm sure. But if you don't want to do it, that does not, that was not the center of my marriage in the first place. So, therefore, I have two options. I can either deal with it or I can take the easy way out and say, you know what, I don't even want to do this no more. But it's also the responsibility of the wife to say, you know what, either I'm just going to not do it or I'm going to find alternative to please my husband. I'm going to find to please my husband because this is what he wants. So it should not just lay dead and say, I don't want to do it, fine, deal with it. No, because it's a tag team match. There has to be a balance to say, you know, We have to find a way to work at this if we're going to be married.
That really makes a lot of sense. And I've honestly never heard it put like that before. I honestly haven't, and that makes a lot of sense, you know. It would have to be a, is it worth, you know, shaking this marriage because you're not doing this anymore? And that compromise thing that you mentioned, is what is your name, caller? Hello?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so the compromise thing that you were talking about, is there something that I can do to make up for this very thing that I know you love that I am no longer willing to do? I like that a lot. You know, that might work, you know.
Because if you think about it like this, for whatever reason, if you don't want to do it, or what if something happens and you're disabled and you cannot do it? You know, I mean, you have to take all aspects under consideration. And from the time you got married, if that was the only thing you married your spouse for, then yes, you married for the wrong reason.
Wow.
But if you married for the overall marriage, the covenant, then you have to stick it out. You have to find ways. You know what? She not giving me all sex like she used to anymore. All of a sudden she said she don't like it. You know. You know, all of a sudden she says she don't like it. Okay, let me either I'm going to take the easy way and roll, or I'm going to say, you know what, that's fine then, you know. But the wife also has a responsibility to say, you know what, I don't like it, but I'm going to do something else that's going to really excite him.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate your input. That really was a great point. Thank you so much for calling in, and please call in again. Hello,
yeah.
We got another caller? Come on, bring them on,
Deidre. We do have another caller. Caller from Maryland, go ahead with your comment.
Okay, is this me?
Yes.
Can y'all hear me? Okay. Compromise is the key to it all. If you don't compromise, then it's going to be what it is. If he don't want it, if there's one way to agree, to disagree, is one of those things where you go into where you know that the communication is what it is. If there's no communication there, it's just point blank, you ain't going to last. If you bring somebody else into the picture, it still ain't going to last because now you got everybody in your business being merged. You got to keep it in-house. I'm sorry.
Hey, how's
Somebody say praise the Lord.
So compromise to you, it has to be there. And even if you no longer want to do something that your husband has been expecting you to do, you would expect him to compromise with you.
Pretty much, really. You got to take one for the team. Now, if it's that okay. one thing that he wants and you know that you used to do it and don't do it anymore, you got to take one. Just
okay.
because you're trying
you
to please
you
him.
You don't think that's unfair? You don't think it's unfair to lead a man into a marriage thinking that you love having oral sex with him, and then all of a sudden one day you even read a scripture, and it's you know what, dude? I'm not trying to go there with you anymore.
See,
so,
it's the other way around too. It can work both ways.
Yeah, definitely.
It can
sure.
work both ways. If you go in there with your eyes wide open, knowing that hey, you're gonna have to compromise. You're gonna
mm-hmm.
have to give and take as far as when it comes to certain situations when you're married.
Is
what it is.
What if a woman no longer wants to serve dinner anymore? Hey, guess what? Yeah, I can cook, little buddy, but I don't want to cook anymore. I don't feel like it. Yeah, let's figure something else out. Do you think something like that a man should also compromise on as well? As well as a woman.
You
know, vice versa, y'all.
But you're not, but yeah, you with that, you do have to compromise with that also, because guess what? In a relationship, it's some give and take. If you know at one point that if you're working out in X, Y, Z and he's close to home, if he's going to start dinner, he's going to start dinner. If you're there before him, you're going to start dinner. It's a lot of give and take. You got to, if you ain't about give and take, you ain't going to last.
Right. I hear you.
Well,
somebody
else will.
Right, and you know what? And with that compromise thing, what you won't do, since the daddy out in the street going to actually get down and do it. And guess what?
Yes,
and that's
yes,
the daddy going to do it 10 times harder than you will.
Yes,
right,
they will.
Right. You think about all
that's
that, right?
That's real.
A.K.A. the cleanup woman or A.K.A. the cleanup man.
Yep. Going
no,
clean it
right
on
up. She's
the cleanup woman.
Yeah.
Rub it up, slap it down. Oh, no.
If I said,
she's the cleanup woman.
Right. And guess what? If you're going to go hard, you're going to have, as far as on the sex thing, if you're going to go hard, you're going to go hard as a married woman, and he's going to go hard as a married man.
Wow.
Yeah.
There shouldn't be no limitations
going,
there, period.
Going hard, yeah.
Wow.
I think, everybody.
My husband is in the kitchen shaking his head at me.
Oh, my gosh. So I'm
going to
treat
that. That's how I feel about it.
Okay, hey,
that's
what you're willing to compromise and what you're willing to not compromise with.
Mm. Okay.
But
what
is self-sacrifice and all that?
We actually have another caller. Y'all are calling in right on back to back.
Yes, call us.
Caller from the 240 area code. What's your comment?
Yes, hello. All right, I got in the conversation mid, so I hear about compromise and oral sex and marriage and everything, and my take on those issues is like, a lot of times when candidates are trying to get married and you're dating, courting, or whatever it is, we, both sides, male and female, do a lot to show that spouse that you're worthy of being married, whether it's the woman cooking dinner every day, doing whatever, or the male whining and dining her, you know? And I think that when you get married to a person, I believe that those things should continue, maybe not as excessive, but it should continue. As a man, I think that a man should continue to do what he has to do to please his wife or serve his wife, the same thing as a woman should have to do, the same thing to please her man. I can't quote the scripture, but I want to say that in the word, it talks about that you – that number one, that when a husband and wife, you're one. You know what I mean? When you make a decision that affects the other party, yes, you can compromise, but sometimes as a woman, we may not feel like cooking, cleaning, and everything. But in my opinion, I believe that as a woman, why not cook, clean, and make sure your husband is taken care of? I'm not married or anything, but I do believe that you want to keep your marriage going. You want to keep it interesting. You know, you want to maintain that relationship. You don't want to change 5, 10 years down the line. You want to remain consistent. And you know, with that being said, I think that is very important. I heard something about the oral sex part. I believe that, you know, I believe that, like, as women, we may not want to do it, but I feel like if he does it, what's the problem? If that's what's going to please your man, why not do it? I also heard somebody say that it's always another man or a woman out there that's waiting for your mate to slip up. And so people who are married, I believe that you have to do whatever you did to get him is what you need to do to keep him, and vice versa.
Yes, sir.
And
yes,
that
sir.
Yeah.
Are you married?
My
comment. You said you're not married, right? You said you're not married.
No, I'm not
right?
married. So, no, I'm not married. I'm 27 years old. Oh, goodness. I'm 27 years old.
Beautiful.
I'm a single parent. Yes, I have a pretty smile. Goodness. Joey actually requested. I want to hit Facebook friends from Stingarn, so I never participated in the discussion, but I, for some reason, just decided to participate today. So,
you go on Facebook and look up Joe.
What Stingarn friend are you?
My name is Terry. I'm Terry Alexander on Facebook.
Oh, I know
and,
who you are. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And I've been to, I want to say St. Paul Church over there in Temple Hills. I think it's St. Paul.
St. Stephen. St. Stephen.
St. Stephen's, that's what it is. Sorry.
Yes.
And, I've been there a couple of times I visit. But, I just really think it's very important that, you know, when you marry and you're developing a relationship, especially a lifelong relationship, you know, I don't think you should get married because of a specific reason. However, I also think that you need to maintain that same spark or that same magic that entice you to get married. You know, you can't, like, just let it go. Like, I have a colleague who's married, and she's like, I don't feel like coming home, cooking, cleaning, taking care of my husband, you know, our kids. But guess what? I do it willingly because, you know, as my role as a wife, I really believe that it's always somebody else out there who's willing to slip up. And it's the same thing on the male spectrum. She's like, I want flowers. You know, I want you to send me flowers at work. You know, things haven't changed, so you have to maintain to keep it interesting. So
yes.
Those are my thoughts.
I think Joe
Thank
is
you.
Actually over the singles ministry over there at Stevens. So that's a pretty good. Thank you so much for calling in. You were wonderful, and, of course, you're single.
Yes, you
Most
were.
Single women usually talk like that. So we'll see how you're talking about, you know, 8 years after you're married. No, I'm just kidding.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. We have one last caller.
Thank
we got 12
you.
More minutes left in our call. Caller from D.C., what's your comment?
Hello?
Hello?
Yes,
hello.
You're on.
It's me.
Hello.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, this is my first time listening as well. So at first I wasn't going to comment, but I hear a lot of people making emphasis more so as towards the woman's role in keeping her man happy. I haven't really heard too many people really put emphasis on women and the things that we need to keep us happy as well. You know, yes,
what
sometimes.
What do you need,
darling? Well, I hear a lot, you know, people, they're saying, like, men want to come home to cook dinners and, you know, this oral sex thing, but what are we getting in return? Sometimes we want to come home to meals being prepared for us, or even so still, I think people put a lot of emphasis more on the things that you did when you were dating. If you stop putting so many emphasis and so much on when you're dating and focusing more towards when you're married, you won't have a lot of emphasis, you know, a lot of issues in your marriage. You can work together better.
Tell us what you need. What you need.
I need a supporter. That's what I need. I don't need a man to take care of me.
In what way?
Excuse me?
In what way?
What do you mean in what way?
I guess what are some of the things that you would expect or that you would want your husband to take care of when you got home?
Yeah, can I come home sometimes and the dinner is cooked? Can I come home sometimes and the house is clean. You know, it's just things that I would like to see done. And I hear, like I said, I just hear a lot of emphasis being put on, like, the woman's role. I mean, yes, it's nothing wrong with oral sex, but can you all just, you know, I don't know. I'm just kind of nervous here.
No, I think what you're saying is making a very valid point. I think the caller is basically saying that we focus a lot on what the woman can do for the man, but the man can reverse that role. Me personally, I don't necessarily need him to cook, but I do need him to take the trash out and get gas in my car on Sundays and change the flat tire. And so the man does have to reciprocate and meet the needs of the woman as well. But what we find, or what I have found in my own personal relationships and those abroad, people I talk to, is many times men are pretty much consistent in behavior and how they act and how they deal.
That's true. That's true.
Why do they always expect us
to change? Why can't they change? You know, it's always
I don't
put
think
an
they
emphasis
can
on
change. Go ahead, caller.
No, but I'm saying, you know, they always put emphasis on, okay, well, you know, you used to cook dinner, you used to do this, and you used to do that, but why do I always have to change? You know, if I'm having a bad day or something, it's okay, you know, whatever, but with him, it's, you know, I have to drop everything to meet his needs. Why can't he do the same thing for me?
I think that a man can, but I think you have to train him in that because men are pretty much the same.
You can't train no man.
You absolutely can.
This is the point of teaching him how to love you. If we need to learn how to love you all,
you can't train
no
man. I ain't no dog.
Yes. It ain't about that at all. You got potty trained, didn't you?
No,
you got potty trained.
How to pee in the toilet?
Okay, you can't
and we call it potty
train. You can't compare
can't
that to a man. First of all, I think we're thinking with the wrong. The man has a specific purpose in the marriage, and everybody's needs are different. So therefore, everybody's needs have to be met. But at the same time, it's extremely important that the support of the husband is there. Not saying that. Forget about what you need, but honestly, we have to support the man of the house, the king of the house, in order for us to get to our destination. And I think that we're putting a lot of emphasis on what the man is needing, what the da 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 da. Because honestly, if he is not receiving what he is giving when he gets home, after he has given and he is not receiving back, then there is going to be an issue. It's going to be an issue. You know, we honestly have to know our position in the marriage. You know, if you expect your man to clean the house
like you're going to finish. You have to start like you're going to finish. You have to start like
you're
going to finish.
Yes, you do.
And
you have to finish.
What we need to understand is men, from the beginning, they pick us up late. They, you know, forget to grab the door, whatever. They're pretty much
consistent. Wait a minute. You're not going to go on men like this, yo.
I'm not bashing men. I'm saying that y'all are consistent in what you do.
All men are not late. I hate being late.
Well, Joe, that's you.
I
hate being late, and I hate finishing early.
I would agree with the whole train a man thing. Because if I have to train somebody, honestly.
First of all, you train a man, a man's going to train you. There's a certain way you like your bread buttered or like you like something cooked. You're going to teach them.
As far as training, that doesn't set
y'all
right.
Y'all are getting caught up on the word. Teaching, training, showing.
No, we're not getting
showing.
Caught up on the word. That's a evil design that society has created that you have to train a person.
No.
You can't train someone. You don't train them. You express need, and the person tries to meet those needs. And if they can't meet it, then
you
have
what?
To renegotiate how your needs are being met. You can't train a
person. Joe, I got to disagree with you, sir.
The barber always
going
to go back and do what he originally wanted to
disagree.
Do.
Okay, so the next time your boss tells you to go to training at work, you tell him, oh, you can't train me.
That's different.
It's learning.
It is. It's definitely different. It's definitely different. I'm not training no dude. And then, first of all, that's so backwards. Why can't I see him for who he really is and then choose him there? Why can't I choose
Patrice,
that instead of getting in the marriage and making him the husband that I want him to be?
Patrice,
yeah,
you're not making somebody be what you want them to be.
Can you train a man or can you train a woman? Because you can't.
Absolutely.
Because
you know what?
You can't train
ain't none
no
y'all
man.
Gonna say it, and y'all can tell me I'm always talking about sex, but I'm telling you, if I'm in bed with a man and
well,
he's
no,
doing something that I don't like,
you talk about that all day.
And that I want him to do, I'm going to train him. I'm going to teach him. I'm going to instruct him in how to
okay,
please me. He's no less the leader of my home, and
okay.
he's no less a man.
I think we are getting stuck on the word. I don't think Heather is meaning
no.
training in the way that we think she's meaning.
I think.
Go ahead. Yo,
this is unusual. This is unusual, but this particular time, I'm on Heather's side. Because
okay.
I think,
that's fine.
I think men are more simple than women are. I think if you reward
oh
a man for a certain
goodness.
Behavior, I think if you reward a man greatly for a certain behavior, he'll repeat that behavior.
Absolutely.
And I think a smart woman will reward what she wants.
But that's not training. That's called classical
right.
conditioning.
You can call it what you
training.
Want to call it. That's called training.
And
you can pull out
that
psychology termination. No,
even
it's
that
not
is
wrong.
Wrong.
The problem is you need to find out where the word training messed you up. Because what you're looking at it is like, oh, you can't teach me that. Like you're being belittled because you're being trained. And I'm
no,
saying that's not
no.
the case.
No, it's not. My thing is, my whole point is that when you train someone, you are teaching them or you're showing them something that you want in a way that you're saying, this is how I want you to do it. And if it's not done this way, there's going to be consequences behind it. And what I'm saying is that's not the right way to do it. You have to openly communicate what you want. You can show them, but you can't train them and then have negative consequences behind it. So that's what
well,
I'm saying, that training.
I agree with Joe.
Joe, listen to me,
saying,
though. Consequences
mm-hmm.
are not always negative. If I train
that's
you
true.
To cook
you're right.
a macaroni
you're
and
right.
cheese this way and you
mm-hmm.
don't cook it that way, the consequence
yeah.
is I'm not going to eat it and it's going to be nasty.
I
that
agree.
Ain't bad.
You're not
you're
teaching
right.
me. You're teaching me how to love you. You're teaching me
train
what you want or what you
it's
like.
It's the same thing. Like, what
no,
thing are y'all
training,
looking at?
Training and showing presents to there's a difference between what happens
no.
afterwards. Afterwards,
yeah. and it's a
not,
different color, a different tone, all of that.
No.
Yeah, it is.
No.
Because when you train someone, you're training them, and it's going to be a negative consequence or positive consequence. And you don't want to give someone that you want to show them how to love you or how to have sex with you or make love forever. You don't want them to have a negative consequence. Or a negative feeling behind it, because then they're not going to want to do it again.
Okay, guys.
That's a whole other show.
Okay, guys. Yeah.
That's a whole other show, but I'm telling you right now, you can be negative or whatever else you want to be. Foolish.
Hey, I'm down with you. I think women should show their man how to be pleased, because a lot of times we do things cookie cutter. But what I'm saying is, don't even bring the word train in the picture. You can't.
That's what I'm
train
saying. That's
someone.
What I'm saying.
That
teach
just don't
me,
even
baby.
Bring it into the picture.
No.
Show me.
Yeah.
Encourage me. That's what you want. You want to foster encouragement. You don't want to foster fear. You don't want to foster negative consequences. And when you train, especially when women come at you with this whole, I'm going to train a man, that
mm-hmm.
is just some
mm-hmm.
nonsense.
That's great, you guys. Everybody, we want to thank
like
you all
minutes.
For joining in. No, we have less than that. Tune in next week where we'll be talking about sex, what it means to men versus women. It's a two-part conversation. We're going to deal with the men on next week, so please call in. Let us know what you think. It's been great.
Thank you for joining Amongst Friends. We'll see you next week.
Bye, guys.
Bye. Joe, I got your back, man. I got your back.
Thank
Whatever.
You,
Whatever.
Heather, no, baby, Heather, listen, I'm
you.
Not mad at you for wanting, for saying that you, first of all, you can talk about sex all day, every day, and that's a conversation
no,
that
Joe,
I'm going to be a part of,
no,
okay?
No, you know what, we're going to do train. We're going to do that. We're going
to have to. I just don't do the, I especially coming from a woman, I just don't do training a man. I don't do that.